Church is supposed to be a sanctuary, a safe place of healing. But what happens when that safe place becomes a battleground? When racial tensions, long ignored, finally explode? At a small community church, inside a food pantry, meant to serve those in need, a confrontation between a male and female volunteer took a turn no one could have expected. A gun was drawn, police were called, and in the aftermath, the church was forced to make a choice. Would it step up and bridge the racial divide? Or would it turn its gaze and look away and further that divide? I was called in to investigate on behalf of the church. What I found was far greater than just an altercation. It was a reflection of a deeper issue, one that churches across the country struggle to confront. Welcome to Top Priority Chronicles podcast. This episode, we deal with faith, fear, and a church at odds with itself. Episode, I am going to share with you a case that I was on as requested by a pastor of the Your Community Church of God, which is not a real church. So if that church really exists, I apologize for any likeness. It was solely my intention to create a fictitious name, and I actually looked it up and didn't find any. So the title of the church that I was called on behalf of was Your Community Church of God, and I was contacted by the head pastor to investigate a altercation that occurred on the church's facility between two volunteers of the church. Now, before this incident occurred, there had already been a previous altercation. I'm not privy to the details of that altercation, but what I understand is it left bad blood in the mouths of both volunteers between each other. So I'll just introduce the volunteers. And as you know, I tried to change the names to protect the confidentiality of the church as well as the members. So we're gonna call the female volunteer Tanya. She was an African-American volunteer at the church. And the gentleman involved in the incident was David. He was a white male volunteer. Now, the church had basically got in contact with me because one of their members knew me personally and knew that I was an investigator, and referred me to the pastor. And so, in turn, he got in contact with me requesting that I investigate this matter further. Now, my initial starting of the case is to the person who contacts me for service, I get the full story from them. And any tangible or discovery, which is if they have police reports, any physical evidence of what they can present of what they know happened during the incident. And I get that in my hand so I can form a first know fully, get all the information I can to know what happened, and second all, to create a game plan of how I plan to approach the matter. So what I did is I got the story from the pastor. I was able to get the police report and find out the facts that the police had in which they were acted on. And I then in turn contacted both of the individuals involved and reached out to them in an attempt to interview them further and find out from their perspective, what happened. Neither of them were willing to communicate with me. So basically what ended up happening is I ended up just collecting the pastor's story and narrating in the report what actually occurred, stating the facts, and also collecting witness information and
putting the story together from both sides, and then putting what follow-up the church made for their own insurance and record-keeping purposes. That was as far as I could go, considering the main actors in the incident were not willing to cooperate with the investigation.
So this incident all started when Miss Tanya was asked by church leadership to complete a task. And that task was making dinner for, or food for, preparing a meal for leadership. And so Tanya basically went to the church's pantry to get food so she could prepare it for what she'd been requested to do. Upon making it to the pantry, she had a run-in with this white male volunteer, David. And David basically approached her and asked her, "What are you doing here?" And she asked David, "What are you doing here?" And they basically had a verbal altercation. So much so that the second male volunteer that was with Tanya felt the need to step in between them and push them to separate them. So I don't know what happened, and I wasn't there, but my guess is for that volunteer to feel like he needed to separate them, it had to be, maybe they feared violence. So the volunteer wanted to be taken home. Tanya left. I'm not exactly sure about how the confrontation ended. I just know they had words. Tanya left and she took that volunteer home. It's my understanding that at that time, Tanya also called the pastor and informed him of the incident. It is my understanding that at that time, the pastor was on his way heading toward the pantry to figure out what was going on. In that short amount of time, Tanya took the second volunteer home and she returned to the pantry. Upon approaching the pantry, the volunteer David approached her a second time. And as he approached her, Tanya pulled out a gun. And Tanya basically told that gentleman to stay away from her. And this was affirmed by witnesses that say they also witnessed a gun, but they also witnessed Tanya telling the volunteer to stay away. And he was approaching her every time she came to the pantry. At that time, it is my understanding that that gentleman, the volunteer David, called the pastor to alert him of what was going on. And I believe Tanya was threatening to, or called the police. He may have called the police and he may have called the pastor after. But he called the police and then Tanya left. And to make a long story short, the police was in contact with Tanya. I believe Tanya denied having a gun toward the police. And the gentleman was upset about it and wanted to file a restraining order against the young lady, Tanya, and also threatened to sue the church. So that is when I came in. After all this incident happened, that's when I came in. So it is my understanding that after the aftermath of this incident, the pastor left it to the church, to the police, to investigate the altercation, and then hired an investigator on his own behalf. And I believe it maybe was as hard to try to rectify the situation. Even though that wasn't communicated, my guess is, yeah, I can't really guess. So the church's response in the aftermath was to dismiss both volunteers from their volunteer position at the church. It turns out before this incident, the male volunteer was no longer, had not been attending the church several weeks prior to this. But the young lady had been attending the church, although she may not have been there a couple of weeks before, but she had been ongoing her volunteer role and coming. So the gentleman wanted to get a restraining order against the young lady at the church. The pastor stepped in and informed the courts that she was allowed to come to the church since she was the one attending, and he did not approve the restraining order at the church. He also allowed Tanya to continue to attend the church as long as she committed to not bringing a firearm into the church, and she agreed to that.
It is my understanding. I'm not sure if either of them ever returned to the church, but both stopped attending shortly thereafter. And I believe this was the outcome. That was the final deal, because they didn't want to follow up with any investigation. The church, that was the ending result. And so when I look back, there's a part of me that wishes that I would have had the know-it-all to suggest that the church create some kind of social justice attempt or reconciliation attempt of the two members to come together, especially when there is conflict between black and white members of a church. There's a long history of a racial divide between African Americans and white Americans, and I think it would behoove the church to delve into the perceptions of both to try to bridge the gap that exists between the two. I think there may have been some middle ground they could have come to, and maybe as adults agreed to disagree on certain issues, but to come together in the name of the faith. And so I see this as really a missed opportunity for the church to step in and to maybe create peace where there's conflict, to create turn over a new leaf and move towards healing, instead of maybe both parties leaving feeling dignified in their divide and in their perception of the other one. So that's just my opinion, not any fact there. I just, when I look back on that case, I think there's a part of me that wishes maybe I would have seen or said something about that at that time. And sometimes things just don't come to you until you've already experienced it and you realize how you would have done it differently. And that is one of those cases. I probably would have maybe requested that the church do something more reconciliation in nature to try to repair that relationship. And who knows, maybe he could have kept one member or he could have kept both. Anything is possible. So I thank you for chiming in. If you have similar stories and you love to share or love to give input on what I've shared, please always feel free to DM me, follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook under Jamie Carr. I'm on Instagram as Top Priority Investigations, and I am on LinkedIn. So feel free to follow me. I enjoy sharing my past experiences, and I would love, if you have any wisdom to share with me or stories you'd like to share, please reach out and share any wisdom you have. Until we meet again.